My name is John Erling. Today's date is July 20th, 2011. Kelly, would you state your full name, please?
My name is Enoch Kelly Haney.
Your names, were you named after family members?
No, Enoch is a biblical name. My parents, grandparents were ministers, and I come from a family of ministers, and so I guess Enoch was the name they chose. Kelly is actually a nickname. And all the men came back from World War II. I used to play soldiers, and one of my uncles started calling me Combat Kelly from a comic book at that time. So the name stuck, and years later when I was getting ready to run for the legislature, nobody knew me by my given name, so I had to legally change to Enoch Kelly Haney.
Okay. Your date of birth and your present age?
Born on November 12, 1940. I'm 70 years old.
Where are we recording this interview?
At my home near Norman.
Where were you born?
I was born at home, Seminole County.
At home?
Right, about half a mile west of Seminole, Oklahoma.
That was the norm, I guess, to be born?
It was at the time. That was the norm.
Your mother's name and her maiden name?
Hetty Louise Harjo Haney.
Where was she born?
She was born in Seminole County as well.
And so she grew up there?
Right. Both my parents did.
And her heritage?
She's on the Seminole Rolls. However, historically, the Seminoles are made up of several different tribes that went to Florida at the time that the country was being settled in that area. They're just really rebels from numerous tribes. And this first Seminole War in about 1814, thereabouts, I think for the convenience of the government, they just called every Indian living in Florida Seminoles, and that's how we got the name Seminoles. That's only to say that we're actually from a tribe called the Miccosukees. So historically, I understand, and my children understand, as my mother taught us, that we're actually Miccosukees, that there was no Seminole to begin with. And I consider myself a Seminole now, but we are historically Miccosukee Indians.
Are the Creeks involved in this story?
Well, many of the groups that came down to create the core of the Seminole tribe were actually from the Creek Confederacy. And the Creek Confederacy was similar to what I'm talking about with the Seminoles. They were made up of several different towns and remnants of groups that existed in a cooperative state, much like the state of Oklahoma, having Ardmore and Tulsa and Salisaw and Guymon and so forth. There are many different groups of people in the area that was designated as Creek sovereignty.
What was your mother like? Describe her.
She spoke our native language mostly.
Which was?
Seminole. Seminoles and Creeks speak similar language. There are just little differences in them. We call it the Muscogee language. She spoke that mostly. She preferred to speak in our native language because she could express herself better in that language. There were times when she'd be speaking alone, and then she'd just start speaking in our native language, which I understood very well, because she just was more comfortable doing that. She would appear like she was really not learned, but she was in her 60s, and unbeknownst to us, she studied and got her GED. And I thought, wow. To me, that's a commitment to education, and that's an example for my children. The son that you met earlier, John, that's my youngest son. He and my other son, William, are both starting law school this fall at UCLA. So we've come a long way from my dad, who went to the third grade, my mother, who went to the eighth.
About your father and his name, please.
William Woodrow Haney.
He grew up in Seminole.
He did, in pretty much the same area as my mother did.
Could you describe him for us?
There's different ways to explain both my parents, because there are the parents I grew up as a child. And then there was my parents as I understood them as adults and working and being in the world they are. So it's just like talking about two different people sometimes. But most of the people who knew my dad knew him as a storyteller. He was a really fine-looking man. In fact, he made the native flutes. He played them. He played at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. He played with the Tulsa Philharmonic. He did some bits in some movies. He taught language at Bacon College, and he had a third-grade education. Which means to me, having a formal education doesn't mean you're smarter than anybody. It just means you had the willingness and the commitment to go to school, which you should, to get that education.
Was he a minister?
He was. He was a minister many years. My grandfather was a minister, so my father was. In fact, I guess they all assumed with a name like Enoch I was going to be, and I studied for the ministry. I was in ministry for a couple of years and then decided that my life and service to people was in a different area. So ultimately I became an elected official, and I saw my position in the legislature as my ministry. I was there to serve people. So I didn't, I guess, really think about having a personal motive other than being able to help other people.
Yeah. Your grandfather, what was his name?
Willie Haney, and he had an interesting history. Early in his life, he was put in the federal penitentiary near or at Fort Leavenworth, I suspect was near. No one ever knew why he went, but there were all these wild stories, and they were all different at the time. I had a gentleman, a non-Indian in Seminole, once tell me when I was telling him a story. I said, we don't know what he went for. He said, Kelly, at that time, it doesn't matter what he did. He was an Indian. They would find some way to get him in prison. And I think the truth of what we found out was he was thrown in jail for a $15 hot check. But that's the way they treated Indians at that time.
Do you know how long he was in prison?
I don't think he was in very long. I do remember the story was he told many people that he got at the same time that I think Everett Younger, one of the outlaws of old.
Yeah.
I think he got out the same day as he did, and he said, Everett went to California and I walked home. He was kind of an outlaw himself in a way. But he became a minister in his last 40 years of his life.
Did you get to know him?
I did. I was about 12 or so when he died.
Doesn't he have a Smithsonian Institution project?
He did. In 1913 to a little past 1930, he wrote some stories for, I forget the man's name, but anyway, he wrote myths, legends, stories, just little stories. In our way, we call them nakonagoji, which means little stories. He would write these stories. He wrote in English. He wrote in the old Seminole language. Then he wrote in the Muscogee language, which my dad and he better than I could translate the Muscogee language. And to my knowledge, he never went to school. But he wrote for a number of years, and I found those stories. I got copies of them. Dad would interpret, and I was going to do the paintings, but we never got around to doing the full stories.
Do you have those so that you could at some time
somewhere? I don't know if I'm going to have time to do that anymore. Truth is, I've got several other projects I'm working on now.
Right. But wasn't there an oral history project that he was?
My father was. My father was active in storytelling. He's a storyteller, and he passed it on to me. I do the same thing. My son graduated from OU. He has a degree in creative writing. So we collaborate on a book that we're writing right now. I tell a story, and he puts in his beautiful language that he knows how to create with words. The book is almost finished. The first manuscript we plan to take a look at that, and I have producers in Hollywood that I know personally who said they take a look at it and kind of help us along with it.
So the object of that book?
It's called The Light Horseman, basically. It's the story of the law enforcement arm of the five civilized tribes. In this case, more specifically, the Seminole tribe. To Native people, the Light Horsemen were what the Texas Rangers were considered and the mounted police, but they were an arm of the law for the tribes who were feared by the criminals of the time because they knew these guys didn't have pity.
Was it your father or your grandfather served as chief of the Seminole?
My grandfather did in the 40s, early 40s.
Willie Haney.
He was selected, actually. At that time, we didn't elect our own chiefs. He was selected by the president at that time to serve as chief.
President of the United States,
right.
Selected.
He has it. I don't know where the document is. My uncle used to have it, that declaration, which was a pretty good size document.
Which grandfather was a minister in the Oklahoma Indian Missionary Conference?
He was. Willie and my father.
Both.
Both were ministers.
Right. It's no wonder then they thought you should be a minister
In fact, he got my local preacher's license when I was still in college and just called me and told me he did it. Funny thing, though, it changed my behavior because I thought I better straighten up, you know. But I always knew they wanted me to do that, but it didn't work out that way.